Today's the day. We are going to have people step into the water of baptism. And I have to say, if the Holy Spirit's prompting you, then it's time for you to do the same. I believe you'll be blessed by this message, and I trust that you're going to heed the Spirit's call. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work, folks. It's not the water. It's not me. It's not anybody who might be helping me. It's Almighty God by His Spirit. His Word does what He planned for it to do. And Lord willing, your faith and your belief and your determination to obey Him will be strengthened today. We're again looking at this idea of baptism from a biblical perspective. In last week's message, we learned that Jesus commanded His followers to baptize new believers. And we also know that obeying Christ's command is twofold. We're baptized when we become believers, and then we go and we baptize others. Obeying His Word offers blissful, eternal life to all who will come to Him. And the opposite is true. Those who don't believe, those who reject the gospel, do not receive that blissful, eternal life. Christ paid the price for souls to be liberated from bondage. And I have to ask, if you want what He offers, because He offers freedom. So now, if you will, turn your Bible to the third chapter of Matthew's gospel record. Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to begin at verse 1. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And I'm going to read a few verses here. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. In Jerusalem, all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word today. Jesus said He stepped into the water of baptism to fulfill all righteousness. His obedience was important. John said he baptized for repentance, but the one coming after him would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Our Lord was sinless. He was sinless. Why would He step into the water of baptism if He didn't have any sin? Why was that necessary? He said it was to fulfill all righteousness. Well, how was He fulfilling righteousness? He was being obedient to the Father. His obedience fulfilled the righteousness of God. That's why it's important when we look at this idea of baptism. It's not something to do because everybody else does it. It's not something to do because we think, well, it'd be nice to do this. We're doing something because it's in obedience to God. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every nation." And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at many, many examples in the book of Acts today that show us that the early church did exactly what Christ commanded. Somehow, in today's world, we lose sight of that. This is something that is commanded, and obedience to it is important. So we're going to get into the Word, and we're going to look at this because this is the Word of God. It's not my Word. It's not what I want to say. It's what God says. And I've chosen a lot of Scripture here today, so I'm going to ask you to bear with me as I read, and it's not going to be so much eye contact, so please forgive me for that. It's written in John chapter 4 and verse 34 that Jesus said, doing the will of the one who sent him was like food to him. This was his food. He was nourished by doing the will of God. He was strengthened by doing the will of God. He was empowered by doing the will of God. And so are we. It sustained him in his ministry and fulfilled him more than any earthly food could ever satisfy. And being found in appearance as a man, it's written in Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Baptism is our sign. It's a sign of our death to self. It's a sign of our death to sin. It's our sign of our new life. We are buried in the likeness of his death, and we are raised in the likeness of his resurrection. This is what Scripture makes clear. Our Lord said that his obedience to the Father was so that the world would know his love of the Father. That's written in John chapter 14 and verse 31. Our obedience to his commands is evidence of our love of God. Our obedience is evidence of our love. Our Lord said his obedience was so the world would know the love of the Father. In Hebrews chapter 5, it's written, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And I have to ask, are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to let him have full control of your life? Are you ready to say goodbye to your flesh and live for Christ? So then I'd say join those who've decided to take that first step of obedience, as I explained it last week. Remember, it's written in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, and Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Believing is critical to salvation. You must believe. And your belief is observed in your obedience. In Acts chapter 15, chapter 1 and verse 15, it relates that the number of early believers was about 120. That's where we started. After Christ died and arose and then was ascended into heaven, there were about 120 believers. The Holy Spirit built the church by drawing souls to Christ. In fact, in the second chapter of Acts, we find it recorded that Peter preached believing and baptism. After hearing Peter's sermon about Jesus being the long-awaited Messiah, the people were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, turn, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And as we go through the book of Acts, we see that whenever the people were baptized, they laid hands on them and they said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It was the Holy Spirit who prompted Peter to instruct them to lay aside their pride and be baptized. The ministry of the Holy Spirit who prompted Peter to instruct them to turn from their sins and their former lives to Christ. As the narrative continues, Dr. Luke reported the following. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and so on. They were changed. They were transformed, as Gary said earlier today. Transformed by the renewing of their minds. This was the beginning of the New Testament church. This was the beginning. 3,000 souls. There were 120 believers, and then 3,000 were added. And it caused a lot of changes, of course. When you get new people, there's things that change. You've got to deal with that. And I have to ask if you're ready to join those saints who set aside their lives and stepped into the water of baptism. If God's prompting you, just obey. Just say, yes, I will. Okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. It's time to let go of yourself and let God have His way with your life, regardless of your past, regardless of how you feel. You have to let go. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit calling you to take action, don't resist. Just respond to Christ who calls all to obey. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it relates that both men and women were baptized when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Philip is shown preaching. And notice again, it was those who believed who were baptized. Those who believe are those who are old enough to make a conscious acceptance of the gospel. Yes, we dedicate our children to the Lord and we use water. Those of you who are here, some of you have seen me do that in this congregation. Baptism's always been for those who believe in Christ. Always. There's no example in Scripture that clearly illustrates it any other way. We dedicate our children and we raise them in the way that they should go, trusting that they will believe and yield to God. All of us who dedicate our children, we trust that God's going to raise them up and we're going to do the best that we can. Every living soul who confesses Christ as their Lord is instructed to die to their self and instructed to die to sin. The first step of that is water baptism. Being overwhelmed with water as a symbol of the washing and regeneration of Christ in your life. You're identifying with Christ. You're identifying with His death. You're identifying with His burial. You're identifying with His resurrection when you're raised up out of that water. We read that Philip preached Jesus to an Ethiopian who had great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He was in charge of all of her treasury. This wasn't just some little guy. He was a high up in authority. As they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Notice again, Philip puts that qualifier on. You've got to believe to be baptized. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so he commanded the chariot to stop, to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Notice the condition placed on baptism is that you believe in your heart that Christ, Messiah, Jesus, is the Son of God. Notice that it's clear that they went into the water and they had to come back up out of the water. The Ethiopian was filled with joy following his obedience to Christ. You want that joy that follows obedience? Do you really want that joy that follows obedience? Then let Him have all of you. Give up. Surrender. Yield. Acquiesce to the will of God. Let go of yourself. There's other examples that are found in the book of Acts too. Acts 9:18 relates that Paul was baptized following his conversion. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. In the 10th chapter of Acts, we find the account of Peter preaching and people believing. After preaching that God shows no partiality between Jews and Greeks or non-Jews, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening. This was before they were baptized. Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And this was after Peter told them that Christ commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it was He who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Christ commands this. He commands us to preach, He commands us to teach, He commands us to baptize and to draw people in. In the 16th chapter of Acts, we learn of a woman named Lydia who heard the gospel. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things that were spoken by Paul. She and her household were baptized. In the 18th chapter of Acts, we learn that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. In the 19th chapter of Acts, we learn of Paul coming to Ephesus and finding 12 disciples there. And this one will apply to some people in here because you may have been baptized as a child and you might think, well, I've already been baptized, so I shouldn't be baptized again. But they said they'd already been baptized in John's baptism, and Paul explained that John preached belief in Christ. And then the Scripture tells us when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They had previously been baptized and they were baptized again. So don't have a fear if by some chance you were baptized as a child. Don't let that old thing change the idea. If the Holy Spirit's prompting you now to step into the water of baptism, then that's what you need to do. In the 22nd chapter of Acts, we find Paul's recollection of his own conversion. Paul said he'd been blinded by the glory of Christ's light, and a devout man named Ananias spoke, and he received his sight. Paul said this same Ananias told him, "Why are you now waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The record clearly shows that baptism was common in the early church. As I wrap this up, I have to ask you, do you hear Him calling to you to obey Him today? And if so, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Allow the water to wash over you as it has countless others. Obey the command of Christ. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? It's written in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Therefore, we were buried with Him. It's written in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 11. And then we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God." In Galatians chapter 3, it's written, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Baptized into Christ. We're not baptized into water, we're not baptized into a church, we're not baptized into a denomination, we're baptized into Christ. We get to surrender ourselves to the overwhelming of water. It's our outward identification with Christ. We're buried with Him in baptism, raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And being dead into our trespasses and uncircumcision of our flesh, He's made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses and wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. It is by faith in Christ that we're saved. Our eternal salvation is outwardly seen in our obedience to Him. If you haven't been baptized as an adult, it might be time for you to obey the Lord. If you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you right now, then maybe you can come forward. You can sit in these front pews and we'll pray with you and for you. You can let God move over you. If that doesn't feel right, that's okay. Come and see me. Come and see me after the service. See me at the meal or afterwards. We're going to go to the water today. There's going to be people that step into the water of baptism. There's going to be people who obey because the Holy Spirit has prompted them. And in fact, the reason that this came to be is because one brother in this congregation came to me and he said, "Pastor John, I believe the Holy Spirit's calling me to be baptized. I believe I need to be baptized." And I said, "Okay, then let's do it." He said, "Whenever you're ready, And I said, I'll pray about it. And I've prayed about it, and the Lord has led me into this series of messages. Two very short messages to bring out the concept of baptism from the Scripture. Not from my heart, not from what I believe, not what I've been taught, what I find in the Word of Almighty God that shows us it's time for some people to stand up and say, I'm going to go into the water of baptism. And then since then, others have come forward and said the same thing. It's time. I need to be baptized. And as I brought the message last week, others came forward and said, you know what, Pastor? I believe the Holy Spirit's calling me to be baptized. And so if the Holy Spirit's calling you, then you need to stand up. You need to say it's time. You need to recognize that God calls all of His people, to obey Christ who has commanded it to be done. And we need to say yes to the Lord, not yes to the pastor, not yes to this church or a denomination or anything like that. We need to say yes to the Lord. Because it's God's will that we do what it is that He wants us to do. And that's what pleases Him, is obedience. So if God's calling you today, then I say, please, heed His call and answer that call. And don't be ashamed to identify with Christ. And those of you who want to, you can be with us as we're baptizing them. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You that Your Word makes it so clear to us that You do, in fact, call us to step into baptism. And so, Lord, as we are here today, I ask that You would warm our hearts, that You would take our hearts apart and put them back together, Lord, that You would, like the potter, mold us as the clay, that we would be in Your likeness, that we would be in the likeness of Christ, that we would follow after the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, who has not only stepped into the water of baptism, but commanded it for all who would come after Him. And so, Lord God, I ask for Your touch upon each man, woman, and child in this building, that we would all be touched by Your Spirit, that we would know that it was You and not the pastor and not the building and not the other people here, Lord, but it was You that has touched us. And we pray this all in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.